Thank you, Mark. Hey, you guys, I'm sorry about the water. I really couldn't find it, okay? This is an honest program. I've got to make that amend promptly. All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Debbie, and I am an alcoholic. Our fifth tradition states that our primary purpose is to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Valley Group honors this tradition by rigorously searching for the finest recovery speakers in the Western Hemisphere so that they can share their experience, strength, and hope with us. I do this every week, and I still laugh. Each week, we recognize one of these speakers for the service to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is now time to recognize Valley Group's Outstanding Speaker of the Week. The nominee for this category has a sobriety date of October 29th, 2012. I asked him what service positions he's held, and he's been of service to many meetings. And I asked him what his favorite AA motto is, and he said, progress, not perfection. And with having said that, may I have the envelope, please? The moment we've all been waiting for. That makes so much bigger. All right, tonight's Outstanding Speaker of the Week award is Chris B. from Tulare, who's originally from Mississippi. I tell you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Chris, and I am an alcoholic, recovered, grateful recovered alcoholic. I brought myself some notes, but I don't think I'm going to use them. I'll leave them there anyway, just in case. I am nervous. I am nervous as hell. I was asked to come here and speak by Bill. Or was at a meeting, and he asked me to come here and speak, and I was like, you know, me? But I'm grateful that he asked. I've been around the rooms of AA for a long, long time, many, many, many years, and never took recovery serious, or just didn't. Recovery didn't work for me as I thought. I won't do a long drunk a lot. My wife told me not to say I'm a lot, but I do say that a lot. I've been in many recovery homes, all the ones in Tulare County, just about Memphis, Tennessee, and anywhere in between. Gosh, I do say that a lot. My drinking career started when I was about 8 years old, when I had my first drink, and I blacked out. And I just got here from Mississippi. My mom got her five kids here, and I continued my drinking. At about 14, I picked it back up, and I started back drinking. And I realized that alcohol done for me, that what I couldn't do is give me courage. Especially junior high school dances. The girls stood on one side of the room and the boys stood on one side. So I drank before I went to the dance. And it gave me courage to walk across the room and always ask the prettiest girl to reject me. And that's what happened. She rejected me. But it was okay because I was feeling good. It really didn't matter to me, you know, whether you dance with me or not. And this continued for me through my junior high school. Being arrested, beating up the principal as an eighth grader, some friends jumped the principal. I was in on it just because they were doing it, and I ended up doing a little bit of time for it. I continued to drink. The following year, I was arrested again for getting drunk and stealing a lady's girlfriend's mom's car, trying to drive a stick. Didn't know how. It was obviously that I was drunk. So they arrested me and gave me another summer up in camp, just short of going to YA. My mom told me, you know, you need to stop doing what you're doing because my brother was an alcoholic, both of them. One continued to get a lot of prison time. I continued to drink. I didn't go back to doing prison time, but I did find myself in jail a lot. I find myself doing dumb things. I find myself blacking out, going to parties and not knowing exactly what happened. People told me, oh man, now you should have seen yourself, you know, and to me it was all fun because I survived it. I survived it and I wouldn't get it again. That's just the way I live. I tried to complete high school, didn't. I was 18 years old and I was still in high school and they told me, well, you know, you're going to have to do something because I was writing my own excuses. 18 years old, I can write my own excuses. I didn't have to go to school. So I told him, you got to do something. So I ended up going to job for Sound Day. And, you know, there we lived in the dorm. They fed me. And I was able to complete something for once in my life. I got certified as a welder. We're going to go and work for FMC, which made tanks up in the Bay Area, made the tanks because, you know, I think the Iran War or something like that was going on, the Ayatollah or something like that was going on. But I never did. You know, my drinking and the other things I did kept me from doing that. I couldn't hold a job. Every job I got, I lost. It's just a fact of it. For me, AA, the Alcoholics Anonymous program gave me hindsight. It gave me 20/20 in the back of my head. And I'm kind of jumping forward. And back in 1981, December 29th, and I know I'm going to put her on the spot, but I met a lady that met my criteria of a good woman, and I'm going to put her on the spot. And because, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say it. You know, I wanted a black woman, one that didn't have that neck thing going, you know. And that was my wife. You know, she was very, very, she was fine for one thing. Anyway, no, she was tall, she was light, she was very pretty. She drove a new car. So I thought she had money. I did. She dressed very well. Her mom worked at General Motors, and my mother-in-law was one of those people that wanted her daughter to dress well. You know, she wore the Vidal Sassoon back in the day, the Nike shoes, and she was good looking, and she had that new car. She fooled me. That wasn't her car. It was her mom's car. And she was just driving it. But I end up dating this young lady. 31 years, we're still together. And I'm glad of that. I'm glad that she stuck around. I'm trying to look at the clock and get this right. We have children. We have three girls, and then they're all here today. I'm glad they're here. You know, but through their life, I know, and this is my hindsight again, that they've seen a lot. They've seen a lot. They've seen an abusive father, you know, to the mom. And any girl that grows up in that situation, it's bad, you know. And me, I thought my life was normal. I thought that I just got pissed off sometimes and acted up. I never credited to the alcohol, you know, things. I really didn't. I thought that, you know, if everyone wanted to act right, hell, we're going to have these problems. And you know, it got to the point, my youngest is 19, oldest is 24, I hope I get this right. I'm getting old. I don't remember birthdays or nothing like that, so I hope I get it right. But throughout their lives, I know they've seen a lot. And you know, the big book talks about the damage that we cause to the ones around us. And it's really the ones that we love the most. It's the ones that I love the most that seem the worst. Because the outside world, I wanted my life to be like the Huxtables. You know, like I wanted, you know, the kids that are very smart. I wanted them to go to college. And you know, the part about that is my kids did well. They did well in school. They graduated and they went on. And you know, my youngest graduated a year early. You know. So as far as my kids, they did their part as children, you know, but I know that they've seen a lot that just damaged them. You know, they just really did a lot of damage. And that's that hindsight where you look back and go, damn, you know, you bitched and moaned all the time, and they were doing just fine. You know, they were doing just fine. I moved to Larry County in 1994, April 3rd, and with a company, I was doing well. They offered me the same pay as I did there in the Bay Area to come here. And to me, it was nice. It was nice. We were able to hopefully have things. And we moved down here, and everything was going well. And my youngest daughter was born in the valley. Needless to say, she has serious respiratory allergies and all the other we have. But throughout that, I ended up losing my job there. I got out of the default. I injured myself, and I was on disability. And I was on disability for 2 years. They paid me pretty well to be alone. And to me, that was a very good excuse to go out and run them. I mean, just run it until it really fell off. And that's what I did. I spent a lot of time out and about with neighbors and friends. And I'd come inside and try to do the damn thing. I'd show up at the graduation in elementary school. And And I know I'm running on with this, but time went on and I kept going. I just kept going. I recall one time, my middle child, I bought them a bunk bed, they were like, I don't know, 7 and 8. And she says, "Dad, come in here. I need a new bed." And she's been telling me this for years. I need a new bed. She was in junior high school. This bunk bed that she still had, it was like this much space underneath that bed. And she used to get up and have to roll up out of that damn thing. And I sat there and I'm like, wow, shit, really? From 5 years, 16 years old up until she was in junior high school. And I didn't realize how out of touch I was with my family. I realized I was so out of touch. I was there, but I wasn't there. And I'm going to cry. I'm going to let you guys know. I'm going to shed some damn tears up here because the hindsight, it really gets, you start looking at it, it gets familiar. I continued to be an abusive drinker. I drank and I acted up. I had, like I said, brief recovery. I did the dry drunk thing, 2 years. I didn't drink. And things seemed to go well. But I went right back to it. I still had serious, serious issues. I picked up some spousal abuse charges. My absolute flow kind of went in my life. My youngest daughter explained to me how much, and it's normal, I think, for children to think they hate you. I don't know if that's normal or not. I'm sure a lot of parents are very, I think, thought that was normal. No, that's not normal. She expressed one time, she was intoxicated, how much the girls hated me. And she told me again and then again, and she started kicking me, and I struck her and knocked her down. But the true reality of it is I hated myself. I really did. I hated the person I became. And I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't be successful at this thing. I just couldn't get a grip on it. I couldn't. Like I said, recovery for me just didn't work. No one was able to fix me. It just wasn't working. And but I knew at that point I needed to do something. I needed to do something, man. I was really, really bad. And it needs to say I was arrested shortly after that for losing my life, and then they picked up an old charge and they gave me a felony. And as I laid there at the jail, with the gita, when they open the cage and throw that shit in like your dog, that bag that they throw you in the morning that's supposed to last up until the evening when they give you that slop, I realized at that point that my life was pretty tore up. I knew I wasn't going to be in jail long, but I knew that getting out was not going to fix me. Just getting out of jail was not going to be the answer to my questions. And I went to court, and they gave me this program. And a couple of years back, so I took the program, moved away to get out of jail to do the time, 3 years of joint suspension, help weigh it out. So I did. I took the program. And went to meetings and so on and so forth. Read some of the big books. And then after that, I relapsed again. And I knew it was going to be the end of my relationship. So I picked myself back up and I tried again. But this time I did something a little bit different. I read the big book, and I remember that my daughter that time, and needless to say, she didn't like me at home, and I know why. I can understand why. There was a lot of pain. There was a lot of pain there. A lot of pain. I understand now that I have a disease. I have an incurable disease that there's no cure. There's no cure for it. This time I did something crazy. Someone said, "Why don't you try getting a sponsor? Why don't you try the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous?" I'm like, "I can do this. I don't need no damn steps." But I did. Someone pointed out, I don't need to put him on the sponsor. Someone pointed out this guy as a sponsor, and I'm like, "Shit, no, I'm not going to pick that guy. That guy is..." He scares me, But I asked him. I asked him to be my sponsor. I don't mean to put you on the spot, Dave. did. L. But I asked this man to be my sponsor. And he looked me in the eye and he scared the hell out of me. You know what I mean? Shit. You know, I could... scared me. It's all right. You got a big book? Yeah, I got a big book. I'm going to need a couple hours of your time. When are you free? Shit, like, can you tell me, like, next week we'll spend 2 minutes or a couple minutes? No, you wanted 2 hours. You want a couple hours of my time. Okay, so I gave him a couple hours of my time. We got together, and he read some stuff, and he told me to bring my big book, read along, and he talked about this disease, and he talked about God, and, you know, he knew a lot about the big book, you know, but I'm wondering, can this stuff fix me? Can it fix me, though? I mean, because I hear all this stuff, you know, you go to meetings, you hear, you know, it works, you keep coming back, and shit, you know? Progress for progression, and he wants the promises, and you know, and I just thought, you guys are faking, man, come on, anybody, you know, 27 years sober, you must be a miserable man, you gotta be miserable, you know, how do you be happy, you know what I mean, if you're not out there, you know, and, but that look, I tell you, it gets you, so we started the steps. We started doing the steps. I read, and he did a third step prayer with me. You know, he invited me to his home. Now, I'm from Mississippi, man. I'm telling you, you know, man, this guy's white. He invited me. You know, I'm from Mississippi. I don't know if that means it, you know. I'm not a prejudiced person, but it scared the hell out of me. He invited me to his house, and he was doing the third step prayer. We kneeled down, we did the third step prayer. And while he was doing the third step prayer, I was trying to hold back the tears, but I was crying. Because this man didn't know me for Adam. Didn't know me. We talked maybe a few times, and here he is doing a prayer for me. You know, I mean, for the first time, I felt that someone, you know, other than my wife and kids and my mom, that someone cared about me, if he's willing to take his time to pray for me. And it felt good. It really did. It felt good that somebody actually took his time to do that. I left there and I felt like I had done. I was finished, man. I'm shit. I'm recovered. I'm cured. But no. He told me there was more work to be done. And, you know, I'm like, damn, man, I really got to do more work. You know, so I left there, and you know, I see him by default a couple of times a week. I have to. That's just, I'm a garbage man. So I have to see him. I don't have no choice but to see him, and so I have to go by his house. You know, and I get to spend lunch with him, which is a good thing. But you know, when he gave me that fourth step, and he told me, I want you to write this stuff out, you know, I it was amazing doing the fourth step. A lot of people run from it, but when I did it, you know, I wrote down my resentments, and I was trying to hide some of it from the wife, because some of it was her. You know, you resent me. You know, I'm not getting any, you know, at this point. You know, I'm sorry. Not enough, I mean. You know, if there's a such word. Enough, what's that? So anyway, I'm going to get myself in trouble here. So I wrote it down, and she got a glimpse of some of it. You know what I mean? I'm trying to hide from, you know. Because the way I felt at that time, you know, that the world had done me wrong. A lot of people, you know, wife, you know, kids, just went act right, you know, boss, and, you know, that guy, you know, man, the IRS, you know, how dare them treat me like that and ask me for my damn money, you know. How does IRS do that? Then when I did that fourth column, I started writing, you know, I mean, my part in that. If anyone's done the steps, they know how liberating that fourth step can be. When I did that other column, I'm like, this is a joke, huh? Someone's trying to be funny here. Someone's really trying to be funny. I didn't find it to be. I'm like, really? And then, you know, when I'm writing, I'm pissed off my wife because blah, 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 blah. And I get that fourth column, maybe because your ass wouldn't act right. Maybe because you, you know, drink and act a fool. Maybe that's why you're not getting what you want. And then it get down there as well, you know, my boss had, you know, was going to fire me, you know. I was mad at his ass. But maybe if I didn't drive that garbage truck the way I did and miss all them damn cans, and maybe he wouldn't be trying to fire me. Imagine that. And you know, that last column, it started something. It started me realizing, and I think that's where it really, really took hold for me. I knew at that point that I was the cause of all my pain. Every single bit of it, every drop, and then some. All the pain that my kids had, and my wife had, and my neighbor that choked to death out at one time. He don't talk to me. And I wonder why. Crazy shit. And at that point, something started to happen. I kept praying. And I prayed, as that obsession started to lift. Because I had it every minute, every second. I had it, my alcoholism and other things, it was before I ran out, I had to have more. I did not want to run out. I just couldn't, because I had to have that. And as the obsession went from all day to maybe twice a day, I prayed and I thanked my higher power. And then it went to maybe once a day. And then a day. And instead of me praying for giving me something, I prayed. I gave him praise. I thanked him for that day. And then it went another day. And I thanked him for that. And I continued on. And that deal, one day at a time. Hell, here comes another slogan. Really came to life. That each and every day. That's what I did. I kept thanking him for another day. Because I don't have no guarantee, no contract that tomorrow's going to come. So I kept doing that. And I knew something was going on. Something was going on inside of me, man, that was just different. I knew for a fact. And I'd be damned if I'm going to tell anybody, because I didn't want to jinx myself. I wasn't saying shit. I wasn't. I wasn't going to say nothing to no one. But it kept going. And I kept working with my sponsor, and it kept going. I realized one thing by working the steps, that my problem was not just drinking. I realized that I have a Chris problem. I have some character defects. I have some serious issues that I had to work out. And for me, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous helped me to see that I have these issues and I need to fix them. I'm grateful. I really am. I said that I'm grateful. I came to put in words. And I hope I can see that clock right. Is it 8:30? No. 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 I have some serious issues that I have to work on. The obsession was lifted. It was gone. Then I had to deal with that empty head of mine with all the other crap. You know, my jealousy, my trying to run everything. Drawing closer to my higher power. I always thought I believed in God, but apparently I didn't, because I'd pray for things and I'd take back control of everything and ruin it. Today I don't do that. Programs of Alcoholics Anonymous has given me something that I never, ever, ever thought I'd ever have. Never, ever. I remember hearing, listening to something, if you want me, you have it. That is always bugged the shit out of me. What do you have? You know what I mean? And by working the steps, I know exactly what you have. The freedom. You know, the freedom to not have something run your life. You know, the freedom that you can go anywhere on the face of earth, anywhere on the face of this earth, don't have to worry about drink. Amen. I can walk into a bar. I take my wife. I mean, she's one of those people, I'm not putting her on the spot, because she can have a couple of beers and be all right with it. So I mean, I got to have all and then some. And I can walk in these places and enjoy my life today. Mr. Looper, I absolutely love you. I really do. I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but, you know, this is not something that you can just pick up off the sidewalk, recovery. It's not something that you can just hand it to you. There's work to be done. And I swear, if someone wouldn't have showed me this and guided me through these steps, I don't know where I'd be. I really don't. I'm truly grateful for the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I just don't know even how to put it in words. And I can bet you, and I don't mean to put words in their mouth, but I know for a fact, my wife, my kids, and my new son-in-law, you guys, I got to put him on the spot. I just got me a new son-in-law. sitting over there. Candelaria, I know you're going to turn red. And you know the beauty of it is my other granddaughter's not here, that my granddaughter absolutely loves this man. Now that's nice. That's nice. It's nice to see. I can't see the damn clock, so I hope I'm not over. How am I doing? I'm doing okay? Okay, good. Good. Because I'm blind, man. I tell you, I've met a lot of people, you know, in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've met a lot of people. You know, I go downtown and I say, hey, how you doing? You know what I mean? I'm not famous or nothing like that. It's just because they're in recovery. They're trying to live a life that hopefully I'm trying to live. And that's just to be happy. For me, that's all I wanted to do is just be happy. You know, and I didn't know where to find that. I didn't know where to find it. You know, I thought it was in money, maybe some fame, maybe something else. But I know I'm exactly where I need to be right now. I'm exactly where I need to be. I know I am. My conscious contact with my higher power, I speak to him several times a day. I thank him for everything. You know, and I don't think I can recall a bad day. My bad days are pretty good. Frustrated, not frustrated. Life. That's the way I do it. You know, I'm glad my wife stuck with me throughout these she's giving me hamstrings over there. Let me run and maybe pass. No, I'm just joking. I've been given something that's beyond compare to me. It really is. The 12 steps and God has done something for me that I definitely couldn't do for myself. I went and made amends with my boss and I was so pissed off that he was going to fire me. I went and told him I was sorry and I thank him for the opportunity to work here. So I told him. I said, I appreciate it and I'm going to try to be the best employee that you can ever possibly have. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to show up on time. I'm going to do exactly what you ask of me. Inside the legal law, of course. I mean, I'm probably going to rob no banks for you, but I will do my job. I will do that. And I'll try to do it well. For my family, I ask, it's a balancing act of work, service, love it. I love being around the people, I really do. You know, when I came in Alcoholics Anonymous, someone told me, hey, get you some real recovery. He told me a particular group to go to it. And when I went by there, being from Mississippi again, there's a bunch of motorcycles parked outside. Guys with beards. I'm not going to go in there, man. You must be out of your mind. But you know those people, they said, come on in. You're welcome. You know, keep coming back. And now it's my home group. That's where I go. Those same people. It's exactly where I go. It's exactly where I go. We're a bunch of mixed nuts. That's what we are. People that wouldn't normally mix anywhere else except in the room of Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, it just wouldn't happen. And I'm truly grateful that I found the rooms, man. I'm grateful that I found the rooms. I'm grateful. Grateful. I'm going to babble, huh? I'm babbling here. What was the time, honey? I'm going to leave it as this. I'm not going to take a phrase from a particular person, but you know, talk about picking up the tools, the spiritual tools, working the steps. It does wonders. It really does. You know? And you will be rocketed into another 10 minutes. Thank you. My name is Chris. I'm Al Galdi.